Okay. So, I'm actually really excited to share with you on this passage because I've had such a precious time preparing it with the Lord and learning more about him through it. So, yeah, it's an incredibly rich passage, and there is no way that I can share with you everything I've learned. So, this is just a snapshot of what I really felt the Lord asked me to focus on today. So firstly, I'm going to recap what Ian's just read briefly, and then we'll delve a bit deeper into what's really happening in the story with some context added along the way. And then I'll leave us with a few questions to think about for application to our own lives. Okay, so let's start with our recap and a little bit of context setting. So Jesus has just come out of being in the wilderness for 40 days, where he overcame the temptations of the devil. And now we know that Jesus came out absolutely full of the power of the Holy Spirit, and that since then he's been preaching and performing miracles in various villages all over Galilee. And he's been building his reputation as really quite a well-respected rabbi. And it's here that we join the story. So he's starting out in his public ministry. He's arrived in the village where he grew up. And of course, that's Nazareth. Nazareth was a very small village, probably of only around 400 people in the land of Galilee and not far from Cana. So in verses 18 and 19 in our passage, in the synagogue, Jesus reads from a portion of Isaiah 61, and he declares that what he reads has been fulfilled that day in their hearing. And then Jesus goes on to share two stories which the Jews do not take kindly to at all, so much so that they actually try to take Jesus's life by throwing him off a cliff. But of course, they don't succeed. So now let's just see what Jesus is doing and saying in this passage and dive a little bit deeper in. If we turn to verses 18 and 19, Jesus reads from Isaiah 61 and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, Isaiah 61 would have been an extremely familiar passage to those that Jesus was speaking to. And not only that, it would have been likely to have been a very fundamental passage which contributed to the Jews' belief about the coming Messiah and what he would do for them specifically. So the people he was speaking to would have wholeheartedly believed that the Messiah was coming to fulfill the passage in their understanding. And that meant that the Jews would be extremely wealthy and that Gentiles would be their servants. And that would mean that they would be able to give up their day jobs and focus on being the chosen priests of the Lord. And also, this meant that Israel's enemies would be punished. But you'll notice that Jesus doesn't read any of those parts of Isaiah 61 in the synagogue on this day. Now, I don't have time here to read Isaiah 61, unfortunately, but I suggest comparing that chapter to this portion in your own time because the insight it provides into the intended meaning of the original text is just amazing. So I just want to reread what I've just read in verses 18 and 19. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, Jesus has actually added in an extra line here from Isaiah 58, verse 6, on freedom. And so now in this portion, there are actually three declarations about freedom and release, including his final words about the year of Jubilee, a year of rest for Israel, and a year of rest for the land that came every 50 years, a year where slaves are set free, a year where people really need to have faith that God will provide. So you can see that there are themes of freedom and faith already emerging here in Jesus's words. And in this rendering of Isaiah 61 that he brings on this day, he's not bringing a message of prosperity for the Jews and servitude for all others as they expect from the Messiah, but actually a message of grace for all. Israel are certainly God's chosen people, but they were chosen partly to be a light to all nations, to show the way, and somehow they'd missed their mission. They'd made it all about themselves. So now Jesus was here to do the very thing they were supposed to do, to show the nations the way to the Father, the way to freedom, to bring the poor. And that means many different things in this context, which I don't have time to go into now, to bring the poor the good news. And he's inviting them into that journey if they will just humble themselves. Now, if we look at verse 21, Jesus is essentially aligning himself with God here, and proclaiming that he is the Messiah who was promised. And he says, this scripture has come to true today before your very eyes. But how does it come true before their very eyes? Well, I think that Jesus is saying that he's come to be the servant, the good news, the freedom, the forever jubilee, and that he will be the one punished instead of those who deserve it. And of course, there's so much more to what he's saying and who he is, but that's just some things that stood out for me from this passage. And now, in case the Jews haven't understood his editing of Isaiah 61 for their hearing, Jesus goes one step further in verses 25 to 27. And he brings in two examples where Gentiles, not Jews, have displayed incredible faith. So the first is found in 1 Kings 17. A foreign widow is provided for during a long time of famine because of her belief in what Elijah said the Lord would do. And the second story can be found in 2 Kings 5, when Naaman, a Syrian, has leprosy, and Elisha tells him how he can be healed if he will just humble himself, wash in a dirty river, and believe, which he does. So Jesus wants the Jews to think of others first, and he wants them to have faith enough to believe what he is saying. He wants them to have faith enough to believe what he's saying. So now, not only is Jesus indirectly, but quite obviously suggesting that he's God, and that the Jews will not become socially upwardly mobile in the way they thought, but they should now take faith pointers from people who are not even part of the chosen few. And Jesus would certainly have known that what he said was incredibly controversial and offensive. And yet, though he knew this, he knew it could get pretty hairy that day. He took courage from being in the spirit to be able to share the truth that he knew these people needed to hear. And even though he knew that this would not be his day to die, Jesus is still utterly rejected by people who probably would have known him fairly well. And I feel this must have been so hurtful to his heart. And of course, also being mobbed by a group of extremely angry men and nearly thrown off a cliff would also not be without physical harm and pain to his body. And that to me shows his courage that can only come from the spirit. So Jesus is inviting the Jews to believe him, to follow him as the way, to be open enough to consider this change in the way things are done and the way they understand scripture. He's giving them a second chance to take up the Great Commission. Jesus started his ministry in his hometown, declaring freedom for captives, a time of rest, a time to build faith in him. And the Jews needed to let go of the box that they'd created around the Messiah and see what he really wanted from them, to have faith like a Gentile and to share his good news with the poor. His message is for everyone. His grace is for everyone. He is the servant, the freer, the good news, the one who laid everything down to usher in a new kingdom reign. And I guess it feels fortuitous that we should be studying this passage at the start of Jesus's ministry, at the start of this new year. And so kind of without wanting to make this too New Year's resolution-y, I wanted to leave you with three ponderings. As we start this new year, thinking about Jesus's focus on freedom and release, what, if anything, do you need or want to release personally from the last year? The two Gentiles that Jesus describes had incredible faith. So what would you like or need the gift of more faith for this year? And finally, where do you need to ask for more courage from Jesus to share the good news with those who don't yet know his gracious message this year?